I am afraid of being a Grinch, which has nothing to do with my dislike of Christmas. I love Christmas, absolutely love it. But I love Christmas when it's time to celebrate Christmas. And I resist the hard push, the drive from one season to the next. I'm stubborn. It's a frenzy. It's stressful. It's a push, all part of the rat race. And I believe it's spiritually healthy from time to time to step back from the rat race. Commercialism drives the frenzy. I know it. I get it. I know that stores have to get out what they have to get out. But it doesn't mean that I have to like it. We are always months ahead of where we actually are in time, which means that we're living constantly in the future. Ever wonder why life goes by so quickly? This is part of the reason, because we are constantly looking ahead, looking in the future, living in the future, never living in the moment. We do from time to time, but for the most part, we are getting swept up in this cultural tidal wave. We are living constantly in the future. I did something this year that I have never done before. I put up my Christmas tree even before Thanksgiving. I don't know why. Maybe I've lost my marbles. I have no idea. It goes against all of my principles and everything that I'm just talking to you about, but maybe I was just swept up in the moment. Fire and brimstone did not come down from heaven and zap me, so I guess I have not offended the Almighty too much, at least in that endeavor. But this disconnect remains in my heart, this disconnect between cultural Christmas and Christmas, at least Christmas the way we understand it and celebrate it here in the church. Right off the bat, the timing is different. In the church, Christmas begins December 25th, begins, and then runs 12 days, the 12 days of Christmas, to January 6th. In the culture, Christmas begins the day after Thanksgiving, the day after Halloween, essentially, right? And then goes all the way through New Year's Day, and that's when everybody takes down their decorations after that. Plus, in the church, we have this season before Christmas called Advent, which is almost Christmas, but not Christmas quite yet. We impose this period of waiting on you. Why? Because we believe it's spiritually healthy. We believe that it builds strong character to wait. We believe that it's a good spiritual discipline. It builds solid faith principles. And therefore, we wait in hope and anticipation and expectation. And I pray that you just bear with me as we impose this spiritual waiting upon us. It's also a time of transition, and a wonderful time of transition. It begins in darkness, it ends in light. It begins in solemnity, it ends in celebration. It begins in fear and sadness, it ends in love and hope. And in this way, it's a lot like Lent. But you can see the disconnect with the world, right? Because we're not running around singing Santa Baby and All I Want for Christmas Is You. Thank God. My hope is that you might be able to appreciate the waiting and appreciate the season of Advent because it in part mimics our human condition. We know what it's like to be empty. We know what it's like to be full. We know what it's like to be sad. We know what it's like to have our cup overflowing with joy. And God, in this season of Advent, is going to fill us up. How do I know? Because that's what God does. God takes what's empty and makes it full. God is going to fill us with hope and love and joy and peace. Without God in our lives, we are nothing. But with God in our lives, we are everything. Thanks be to God. There's another reason why I'm afraid of being the Grinch. Because, as I said, I'm stubborn and I resist commercialism in general. And that's unfortunate because we are a commercial people. In addition to the NFL, I think commercialism is the closest thing we come to a national religion. And everybody is swept up by it. And I resist it constantly. And others have a name for me. And I've earned it rightly. They call me cheap. They're right. But I've given it a nice little spin. Instead of cheap, I call it good, old-fashioned, Methodist austerity. And that good, old-fashioned, Methodist austerity is ingrained so deeply in me that I can't shake it. But you'll be pleased to know that I firmly believe there is a time for everything, and I believe there is a time to be cheap and a time to be extravagant. And in that extravagance, meaning God's good extravagance, God's luxury, God's grace, I find that even the Grinches and the Scrooges of the world are transformed. We begin our Advent series, and our sermon series is going to parallel the story of the Grinch. The series is called The Heart, but it's based on the story of the Grinch and interweaves with our scripture and parallels our gospel story. All stories that involve transformation, transformation of the heart, parallel our gospel story. So like me, Ted Geisel, also known as Dr. Seuss, resisted commercialism. And he set out to write a children's book resisting the commercialism that he believed was a threat to Christianity, a threat to Christmas. And this was all the way back in 1957. He started writing How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And he found out in the process he was writing an autobiography. That's right. Isn't that amazing? Someone with the courage to claim that a story about the Grinch is an autobiography. However, I doubt that Dr. Seuss is alone. I imagine that many of us feel sometimes like the Grinch. I've seen a couple of memes floating around social media. One said, "The older I get, the more I understand why the Grinch wanted to live alone with his dog." The other one said, "Just to be clear, the Grinch never really hated Christmas. He hated people, which is fair." You know what that tells me? People are frustrated. People are frustrated and irritated, and it's getting to us. And the idea of being alone, away from everybody, not seeing anybody, becomes more and more attractive. It awakens our inner Grinch. I will add that the second meme isn't exactly correct. It says that the Grinch didn't actually hate Christmas. That's not true. Just three sentences into the original story, it says the Grinch hated Christmas the whole Christmas season. Hated, the word is in bold, emphasize. Oh, don't get me wrong, he hated everything else too, but Christmas was at the center of his ire. The Grinch was an angry, lost, bitter soul. And quite frankly, he wasn't alone. There are others out there. Maybe you know some of them. It is a slippery slope toward hatred. It doesn't begin there. It begins with something's just not quite right in the world. And from there, it grows to just kind of a constant irritation in our lives. From there, it grows into a lingering and harboring frustration. And that frustration grows into an anger. And that anger, if not kept in check, turns into hatred. And hatred is deadly. Distorts our vision. Distorts the way we see one another. It distorts the way we see our family. It distorts the way we see our spouses. It distorts our whole vision for all of the world. It distorts the image of God in which we were all created. Why did the Grinch hate Christmas? We're never told, at least not in the original story. We're told how the Grinch stole Christmas. We're not told why. Later editions tried to add in, fill in the gaps, and come up with some reason. Well, there's got to be a reason, and the reason is probably this. Well, that's a shame that they do that, because Dr. Seuss intentionally left it open-ended so that we could all find something in the story that we could relate to. And if we were to be honest with ourselves and do some real soul-searching, we would find that every single one of us can get worked up about something. Something's not right with the world, or something's not right with us. Both are a possibility, and both may exist simultaneously. When you read the Old Testament prophets, this is the message you come away with. Something's not right with the world. And it wasn't. And the prophets were the whistleblowers trying to get us back on track with God. Advent is a time to hear the voice of the prophets. Isaiah called for a Savior. Why? Because he knew something wasn't right with the world. He knew we needed help. And we weren't going to figure this out on our own. We weren't going to rescue ourselves. We weren't going to save ourselves. It is impossible for us to save ourselves. We need help. We need a rescuer, a deliverer. We need a Savior. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence. He was begging God to come down and save us. And God finally would, and God finally did, in the person of Jesus Christ. But Isaiah had to wait. And we wait like Isaiah waited. Through the prophet Amos, we hear a very different perspective, a very different voice of God than the one we typically hear. In this passage from Amos 5, God sounds a lot like, well, I'll let you listen to it and see if you can hear it. I despise your festivals. I take no delight in your gathering. Even though you offer me burnt offerings, I will not accept them. I won't even look at them. Take away from me the noise of your songs. Noise, noise, noise. Do you hear it? What a strange and interesting parallel. Something had run amok. Something wasn't right with the world. God was angry and God needed to speak up. What did God want? Justice. Justice in the world. Amos was his mouthpiece, and God uses the prophets to bring about justice in the world. Well, there's a lot of people celebrating Christmas early this year, and I think that we are all perhaps swept up in the movement. Why? Because I think a lot of us feel like there's something not quite right in the world. And we don't know what to do about it, but we know that there is power in Christmas. And we know that there is power in faith, and we know that there is power in God, and we know that there is power in light over darkness. Thanks be to God. And it is a delight to watch neighborhoods slowly light up as people get their Christmas lights out, and these neighborhoods are transformed from the increasing darkness in the world to increasing light and love and hope and joy. And whether they realize it or not, or whether they know it or not, those lights represent the light of Christ in the world. Hatred is a fixture in our world. But love is a stronger fixture. And when we see hatred, we are going to get rid of it with our light. Why do we light these Advent candles, this increasing light, this light that goes out and radiates? What do these represent? Hope, love, joy, peace. And this light scatters the darkness. This light scatters the hatred of the world. And this is the first step toward the transformation of the Grinches of the world. This is the first step to the transformation of all the world, This is the first step to making right what's not right in the world. Thanks be to God. So be it.